Have you heard that passage before? I think most people have, even... Oh, Jack hasn't. Jack? I suspect even if you've not read much of the Bible, that's something you may have at least heard of before. It's Jesus' summary, in a sense, of the law, and it incorporates what we commonly call the golden rule. And it's appropriately focused on love. Love for God and love for others. It's interesting to think about what loving God really means. For many of us, it might involve things like worship. Down through the ages, societies have expressed their devotion to their gods in acts of worship. From the earliest days, this appears to have involved rituals and ritual sacrifices, and if the archaeology is anything to believe, almost universally practiced human sacrifice, which thankfully we don't do in this church anymore. You can rest assured. We, in fact, follow the trajectory of Abraham, Moses, the prophets, and in light of Jesus' own self-giving, rather than offering sacrifices of other people or animals, we understand that we bring ourselves as living sacrifices. This is our spiritual service of worship. So there's a slight change. Sacrifice is still part of the deal, but rather than sacrificing somebody else, we bring ourselves as living sacrifices. Others of you might think of loving God through prayer, and prayer is perhaps the most intimate expression of devotion to God. Again, this is something that has changed through the various epochs of human society. Some people find it really useful to use carefully written prayers that other people have constructed. Some people like to write their own prayers. Others use ecstatic speech in prayer. Have you heard of speaking in tongues, this kind of thing, where it's almost a disconnect between conscious thoughts, but there's this sense of being filled with the Spirit and speaking in strange tongues. Others have a more casual conversational style in their prayer with God. And prayer is essentially becoming aware of and acknowledging our heart before God, opening our heart that we might see what God really already knows. When we come in prayer, we don't tell God anything God doesn't already know, but we become aware of that knowing, and in that process, we learn stuff about ourselves and stuff about God, and there's a kind of dialogue that takes place, often in ways that are too profound for words to even be formed around those things. Others of us are really keen on Scripture, and Scripture is a way of expressing devotion to God. Almost every religion has some kind of sacred text, and knowledge of these texts and almost devotion to these texts for some people is an expression of their love for God. In the first few years when I became a Christian, a long time ago now, someone put me onto a hardcover book called Search the Scriptures. I think that's what it was called, yeah. And it took you through the whole Bible in a cycle of 3 years, and it each day gave you a chunk of Old Testament, a Psalm, and a New Testament reading. And then it would have two or three really vague, open-ended questions that would just guide you into reading those passages. And I did that, I think I did that twice. And it was a really useful thing for me to do because it took me to passages of Scripture I would never have chosen to read. And bits that I struggled through, you know, there's parts of Numbers where they're just talking about so and so many this and so and so. And I'm not sure what I learned from them. But it really helped me get a full grasp of what Scripture has to say. And I believe reading Scripture is an excellent thing to do. It served me well. And just have my experiences with prayer serve me well and my experiences of worship serve me well. But I wonder if that's all that loving God is about. Because if it were, it seems a little bit self-absorbed. Just park that for a moment while we think about loving our neighbours. Who's your neighbour? That's my family. A couple of years ago, up at Byron Bay. who's right next to you? It's quite often your family and your close friends. And it's good to love your family, and it's good to love your close friends, and the scriptures say that's a good thing to do and points you in that direction. Is that what loving your neighbor is about? Yes. And what about your community? Let's go a bit further out. One of the things I've really enjoyed about coming here is how well this Ultimo Uniting Church community have welcomed me, but I also love living next door to the pub because I walk out of my door and there's a very high percentage that within 30 seconds I will be engaged in a more than meaningless conversation, a meaningful conversation with one of the locals. Roz, who does the housekeeping at the pub, is often sitting there having a smoko and we sit down and talk. Or Bede, who cleans the windows and stuff like that. There's Greg, who does the gardens, and his wife, Chris. Tanya, who walks the dogs. Jono and Stacey, who live down the road. And Robbie with his little pooch. All these people that mill around. Tom and Lily at the cafe with their daughter, Laura. Mike, who drifts around and does all sorts of things. And these conversations often go deeper than just, hello, how are you going? And it's wonderful to share in each other's lives. Is that what loving your neighbour is about? Yes. And? We also generously connect with people outside of our community, don't we? People who are not our family and friends, and they're not really part of the community that we live in, but perhaps they're part of our workplace community, which is out of our area, or our study community, or maybe they're part of our gym, or where we do some other activity, a place where we see people. When I went to Bible college years ago in Auckland, I didn't know anybody in Auckland. I was shy. And I desperately wanted some friends, and Kiwis are really similar to Australians, you might have noticed that, but when you get two people together that are really similar, the only thing you notice is the differences. Well, this is what my experience. I thought, these familiar strangers, who are they? And I'm sure they thought the same about me, but I knew they were my tribe. They were Christians. And in a funny kind of way, even though I hadn't met them and I didn't know them, they seemed a bit strange to me. They were my people because I was in a Christian context, and they, you know, that gave us an opportunity to feel safe together, I think. But is loving your neighbour simply about looking out for those who are closest to you, your family, your friends, your community, your tribe? Because they're all good things to do, but that's hardly revelationary, is it? We kind of know how to do that without the Bible telling us it. So I want to ask, why did Jesus put these two ideas of loving God and loving neighbour together in the way that he does? And he does that quite deliberately, I believe. Because I think he wants to say, what if love for neighbour informs and directs your love for God? That is to say, love for God finds primary expression not in religious activity like worship and Bible reading and prayer, as good as those things are and are definitely to be encouraged, I find them really useful, but love for God is primarily expressed in the way we behave with the other human beings. I've spoken about this before. You know, in ancient days, worship usually involved idols or images of the god that was being honored, and people would treat that representation of God with respect and honor in their worship. And our God says, do not make any graven image of me, because the image of God already exists in creation. And it's you and me. It's us. Every person is made in the image of God. And if you want to worship our God, you honor the image of God in every person, everyone you encounter, everywhere, all the time. That is how we maybe love God. And perhaps more subtle again, what if the way we love others is informed and directed by our love for God? That is to say, to love God is by its very definition to love other than ourselves. Because I'm not God and you're not God. So if we're going to love God, we're loving outside ourselves. So not just simply our family and friends or our community or our tribe, but the way we respond to those who are even beyond us, people we don't even know yet, this openness to them as well. And what if that otherness is even bigger than that? It's not just people we don't know yet, but people who are kind of odd to us and we don't know how to know very well. I've met some fantastic people here in Ultimo, and those relationships continue to deepen and I really enjoy them. But probably, as I've said here many times recently, the most unexpected relationship I have is with Juliet, and it continues to deepen and grow. And this is a woman who, when I first met her, I would never have thought I could understand or be friends with. Some of the things she did when I first met her actually disgusted me, that I was repulsed by them, and things that happened around her sometimes disturbed me and sometimes threatened me deeply, and I found it kind of scary at times. And it's a mystery to me that as I stand here now, one of the people that I talk with most regularly and pray with most regularly is Juliet. It's so weird. And I've noticed recently, after we pray together, Juliet has a big smile on her face. And she tells me, "That was a lovely prayer, David." And I receive it almost as a blessing. And it's an extraordinary thing to encounter God in that place. And I've been thinking about that, and in a funny kind of way, it is exactly Juliet's otherness that has made that relationship so important and so powerful for me, because I can't assume anything about her. She's not like me. I can't think that she will think just like me as I talk with her. I have to ask her. I have to engage with her. I have to fathom and seek to understand. And in that mystery, I actually understand myself more as well. And we encounter God together there. That otherness, love for God, love for neighbor, they inform each other and deepen and enrich each other, as it were. See, there's nothing better in life than love. Love is the part of life that makes life life, makes it worth living, I believe. We encounter God's love in the story of Jesus. It's a great story, and it changes the way we understand things and know what's important and so forth. But we experience God's love in the most tangible of ways, as we become the very expression of that love, as we live it with one another and receive it from one another. And let me tell you, divine love is found in the most unexpected places. And may we each have the privilege of discovering that more and more as we go further into our lives and encounter all sorts of wonderful people and live the love of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your clarity about what's the most important commandment. We thank you that you joined love for God and love for one another so that they challenge and inform each other. And that challenges and informs us. We thank you that there is so much to be found here, so much life, so much good to do, so much worship. And we thank you that you call us to be your hands and feet in this way, to the glory of your name. Amen.